the world isn't wide enough. Get immersed in the expansive views of the 48-inch customizable panoramic display in the all-new 2024 Lincoln Nautilus Hybrid. Explore more at Lincoln.com. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Beyond Natural Pet Food. Beyond Pet Food helps me care for what matters, my pets and my world. They help me nourish my pets with high-quality natural ingredients, like wild-caught salmon and organic free-range chicken. Beyond also has responsible sourcing practices and a long-term partnership with the Nature Conservancy. Beyond Pet Food, your pet, your world. Learn more at beyondpetfood.com.
Like, it's just everything that could go wrong, Bid. .373 batting average, .484 on base, and a .549 slugging. So a 1.033 OPS.
What would Major League Baseball do if they didn't have the Yankees to promote, Josh?
That's a good question.
And welcome to episode number 269 of Artificial Turf Wars, where we've been reluctantly discussing and dissecting Blue Jays losing streaks and the like since, well, at least 268 episodes ago. I am your host, Greg Wisniewski, and I am joined by the heroic Joshua Hausam. How are you doing tonight, Josh?
Am I heroic because I'm willing to talk about this team in the midst of all this?
Yep, absolutely. This is hero's work. I refuse to think of it any other way. We're going to talk about how the Jays have played themselves into last place with a lovely combination of really not hitting when required and also the pitching falling apart at inopportune times and also the defense not really bailing them out in any way when it might have. Yeah, we're going to start with the offense. We're going to talk about the exceptions to that as well. Of course, Brandon Belt having a May that corrects for his abysmal April. We're going to talk about the pitchers who have done cool things, like Chris Bassett. And then we're going to have to talk about the other ones who have not done cool things, including man pitching as I record this, Jimmy Garcia. with a chaser of Nate Pearson. Also, a couple of defensive highlights from Kevin Kiermaier and untimely errors. We have your questions. We have Old Star to a wildlife, and we have a couple of do-overs as well to throw in there. Josh, tell me where it all starts for you. Where does it all start to fall apart?
Well, it's basically been whenever they play anybody in the division right now. They lost 4 in a row to Boston. And then they swept Pirates, and they come back. They play the Yankees for 4, lose 3 in a row to Baltimore, lose the first one to Tampa. It's like, oh my goodness! I mean, that's how you find yourself in last place. They just, you lose all the games to the people in your division, and there aren't that many of them this year.
Yeah, and if you look back at the one victory that they had against the Yankees, that was a 0-0 game into the ninth. That was only bailed out by a fluky home run. I don't want to call it fluky home run, by an unlikely home run from Danny Jansen under the circumstances. So it's not like they had a laugher mixed in there. They've struggled for just about every win except for what is last night as we record this, the 20-1, which I would say is probably really only an 11-1 victory in Tampa.
Only. It was a mercy. Yeah, it hasn't been good, and the biggest issue really has just been the offense. Well, and you alluded to it with the defense too, because the starting pitching has been it's pretty good. You know, it's like you got these. Manoah had one bad start in there, but also you had a good one. And Bassett, who you're going to get to, has been incredible. Barrios has been really good. Gossman lost the start where he was incredible again. And Kikuchi has fallen back to earth. He's been pretty rough his last couple times out. But, you know, when you got three starters, Gossman, Barrios, and Bassett going, you know, and going really well, you kind of expect it to be a little better than it has been. But, you know, there's just the timing of everything, whether it was, you know, whether it was the offense not performing or blown saves, which happened, and you know, with 3-run leads in the eighth, giving up a 3-run homer. It's like it's just everything that could go wrong did.
Yeah, and in of course, as you know, things get pretty dismal, it goes wrong in a bunch of different ways. As you alluded to, they finished the road trip, getting swept by Boston on a throwing error. But swept by the Phillies on a throwing error, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's, you know, despite Kevin Kiermaier having multiple leaps up against walls in various places and making plays of the week, then you have Bo Bichette or Matt Chapman not making what is a must make play at the end of a game. And it's not, you know, you can't really correct for those. Because the game is over.
The Chapman one is a little more forgiven because it was the angle he had. It was hard to make that throw to the plate. But then in the first game of the Tampa series, where you know Vlad made two errors that led to 4 runs, and it just seems to be that it just snowballs a bit for the Jays of late. And you know they're not playing crisp baseball. Like in the last game against the Orioles, they had Biggio overslid a base that he'd stolen and got tagged out. Merrifield got picked off. Kiermaier dropped a fly ball that ended up not scoring. But it's just been, it's like they just, they lapse. They have mental lapses. And when you're struggling to hit, you can't do that. You can't be giving away plays just by not, you know, just by losing concentration.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, this was a stat that I saw from the Orioles series, but it was mind-blowing. Number of extra base hits with runners in scoring position. The Blue Jays were 3 for their last 90. It was 2 from Chapman, or 2 from Merrifield and 1 from Vlad? Something like that?
Well, Jansen's was a home run with runners in scoring position.
So oh, it was 2 from Jansen and 1 from Vlad.
Which was the grand slam against the relief pitcher? The position
player? No, this was back Baltimore. In the Baltimore series. So I'm sure it's improved, obviously, since last night's, you know, again, the Blue Jays did not have a lot of extra base hits in that absolute barrage of, it was 27 hits in the 20-1 game, I believe. And they had 4 or 5 extra base hits out of all of those. This team hits a lot of singles, walks a decent amount, but then doesn't have enough length in the lineup at the moment to string those singles into meaningful rallies, right? They score a run, but a run with the pitching staff, what it is probably not going to win you a game in with any team, right? One run is not enough.
Well, and also I think part of the problem too is there's just a little bit too much swing and miss in the lineup right now, which I mean that could correct itself, but there were times when they would get first and third, or runner on third, no out, one out, in a sequence of innings and not score because one guy would pop up, the next guy would strike out, and then a guy would ground out with 2 outs or something like that. You know, and like Vlad was striking out more than he ever has during that streak. That's sort of fixed itself since the start of the Tampa series. It's possible he still had lingering effects from his knee injury, but you know, Chapman is swinging through pitches in the zone, Belt's the same thing, Varsho, and those guys were all hitting in sequence in the lineup. So it did make it hard to string together rallies when you had just guys striking out a lot. And hopefully that can turn itself around a bit.
And I think this is, I guess, the depressing part is we've saw in April that this team can go on a streak. They can have a very decent, you know, 10 games, 12 games, 14 games where they are winning the vast majority of those with the combination of well-played defensive baseball and well-timed rallies with a number of players who come through on a given night. Like all of the talent presumably is there. But I think the difficult part is that they just have to do most of the things they're doing. They just have to be better. And it certainly seems like, and again, I'm sure Tampa will have a losing streak this season, and Baltimore will have a losing streak this season, and the Yankees will hit a rough patch, right? But of all the times to find out that you don't measure up, going up against your divisional opponents over and over again, and not being able to get to the end of the, you know, to the finish line, wow, that's a gut punch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's basically, you can't put it better than that. They just picked the worst time possible to play poorly.
Yeah.
You know, now they're down to their, you know, they at the start of this, they were on a 99 win pace or something like that. Now it's 84. And they're down to 26 and 24, which it's just frankly not good enough. No, does that mean that it's over or anything like that? No, it's a lot harder, but they definitely can get out of this, because as you said, they played a lot better in April. They just happened to all go cold at the worst time.
Yeah. And I don't know, I don't know what the answer for that is, because you're not really pointing at, oh, every time we get to this spot in the rotation, this guy blows up. We need a better pitcher in this spot in the rotation, right? Or you're not looking at, well, you know, in previous seasons, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, we could look at third base and go, man, if third base were better defensively and offensively, Blue Jays would be in better shape. We need a third baseman. But Dalton Varsho has been a disappointment offensively, but he certainly comes advertised defensively. So who do you, if you were to, right now, if you were to say, okay, we'll make a trade, do you trade for a second baseman?
But Merrifield has been pretty good. I mean, he's hitting, like, as we record this, he's hitting 289 with a 729 OPS. You know, that's totally that's perfectly adequate for a second baseman. I mean, it's an above average, barely above average hitter, but a good defensive player who's a great base runner. So it's not even an easy upgrade there. So it's just basically that the biggest problem is that guys you can't upgrade on need to play better, like Varsho or George Springer, who has started to play better, but still has an OPS under 700, and the catchers, both of whom are OPSs under 700. There now, Jansen was hitting better, but he was awful before that.
Yeah, and now
he's hurt,
potentially hurt for a long time or a little time. Would you like to transition to the injuries that we have seen? Santiago Espinal goes on the injured list. They, you know, doesn't look like a major injury. But that sort of started a kind of a weird merry-go-round of call-ups and send-downs. I always like it when it's May and there's a guy I've really not heard of playing second base.
Ernie Clement?
Yeah, Ernie. First of all, I didn't know anybody under the name of, like, 50 was named Ernie anymore, but who knows?
It's not common. But and if any of our listeners are named Ernie and under 50, well, you're not alone.
don't add us.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was really interesting. Is Otto Lopez was called up for a day, and then he was sent back down without playing. I got why. It was sort of because I think that they needed to assess where Mitch White was, because he's another injured guy whose his shoulder's bothering him now, and his rehab from his elbow. I've lost track. And so they put him on the 60-day DL, which allowed them to add Clement, because he wasn't on the 40-man before that. So they couldn't go with him until they for sure knew what the deal was with White.
Right. So that's Clement. Did they bring up Hatch and send him back?
Yeah, he got up. He pitched an inning, struck out the side, and then was sent back down because Simber was back.
Right. Simber is back. Is Simber coming back a boost to the bullpen, or is it a neutral move?
Well, I think it's absolutely a boost. As bad as Simber was at that little stretch, he has been an excellent reliever for his entire career. We're talking about a guy who last year led the majors in appearances and had a 2.80 ERA. He doesn't walk guys, and he was walking guys, which is something he's never done. And I think that he was just hurt and it was affecting his command. So if he's healed and better, he's an asset.
Yeah. And I mean, there is something to be said for his skill set, like you said, in the long run. Especially with this bullpen that has certainly had its ups and downs. With now, of course, Zach Pop is still on the IL. So right now it's Simber, Meza, Richards, Romano, Swanson, Bass, Garcia. Yeah, and Pearson. So, you know, Jordan Romano has shown his warts a couple of times in the past couple of weeks. And I think that's, again, it's another one of those happening at the worst possible times. Despite coming in and giving two innings versus the Yankees without allowing a hit, then he comes in the next appearance and gives up a 3-run home run right off the top. It's like,
yeah, I thought that was a bad managerial decision, just because, like, the way that he pitches, he was more likely to throw a ball that was going to be in a home run zone for the left-handed hitter, but he was also taking out Yimi Garcia, who has been really, really bad. So, and it's hard to, you can't really ever truly get upset at the manager going to his closer in the eighth inning to shut down a rally. It's not a thing that's ever a bad idea usually, because that's your best guy.
Yeah. And then that day, he wasn't.
He was not. Yeah, but there have been at least some bright spots in the bullpen. You know, Meza continues to just get the job done.
His ERA of 1.06.
Yeah. And he stopped just giving up hits to the first batter he faces every time, so he can actually be used to get out of an inning. Yeah, he's been just truly excellent. And then Pearson has stepped up, and I think he is really earning a leverage role, which is actually good, because Swanson has hit a bit of a rough patch, and Garcia's, you know, his ERA is up to 6.35.
Yeah, these are not numbers you want to hear in your bullpen. Yeah, there. Again, I think there is enough bullpen there to get 9 outs on a typical night. It's just occasionally the starting rotation has been in a position where it's 12 or 15 outs that are required, and that's when it gets a little touch and go, figuring out how to navigate those extra outs.
Yeah, and they just, you know, they just had a sequence where, like you talked about this last time, there were games where every reliever would give up a run or they'd all be great. And they just haven't gotten consistent performance out of the bullpen other than from Pearson and Meza. So, again, it's something that should clear itself up, because Simper is a good reliever and Swanson is a good reliever and Romano is a good reliever. So it's just bad timing. It's just really not all it is. It's all it is.
So, I have this on the list, and I don't want to forget it. Give a shout out to Chris Bassett for the, I believe, fourth longest scoreless inning streak in Blue Jays history.
I think that's right. Yeah.
You know, 27, 28 innings. Pretty impressive. Tampa ended it, because Tampa ends everything that is cool and nice and good. But that is an impressive achievement, including that complete game shutout. And the other shout-out I have on my list is back to the offense, which we kind of left behind, I think, because we didn't know what to say. But Brandon Bell has been the exception to the don't know what these guys are doing, why is their OPS so low rule.
Yeah. So here's Belt's line for the month of May. 373 batting average, 484 on base, and a 549 slugging, so a 1.033 OPS. The old guys, Belt and Kiermaier, just raked for the entire month. And it's kind of, you know, Kiermaier has just been tremendous all season. You know, and you know, the longer he can keep that up, the better. It's not something we're used to with him, but it's hard to complain with it. And then Belt is now back to a reasonable line that's sort of like what he was doing for most of his career with San Francisco. A 362 on base and a 409 slugging. The power's a bit down, but it's a 771 OPS, and that's certainly will play for your, you know, your DH against righties and a potential first baseman.
Yeah. I mean, he was not hired to set the world on fire, right? He was brought in because they wanted someone competent to back Vlad up, and they need someone to hit from his side of the plate. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the middle of the lineup is pretty good. You know, Chapman, Bichette, and Guerrero, despite Guerrero going on a temporary, very cold streak, which he's gotten out of again in the last few days. I mean, as a middle of the order, their production has been excellent, despite Chapman's struggles in the month. You know, you just can't complain about a guy going a little cold when he was the best hitter in baseball for a month. But it's just been the rest of the lineup not stepping up. But well, we're being happy now and talking about Brandon Belt finally turning back into what we thought he was going to be, because we were both happy when they signed him.
Yeah, yeah. He did. He never had a track record of whatever the heck it was that happened to him in April. You know, and I don't. And now that he's got his timing sorted out, I don't foresee that suddenly happening to him again. It was a surprise. It probably should remain a surprise. Yeah, so 2-9 in their last 11, including a game in which they scored 20 runs, because baseball is an insane sport to watch over the long run.
Yeah, their two wins are one where they scored 20 runs in 9 innings, and one when they scored 0 in the first 9 innings.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so that was the 2 weeks that was. Apologies for the scheduling problems for us recording, but, I mean, what were we going to tell you the first week? Pretty much this, only like half as bad.
We decided to wait for a win. Also, Ryu, he's starting to throw bullpens, which is good because they could use reinforcements on the pitching side.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryu healthy, throwing, you know, faster than he was before he left, which I assume he will have got some velocity back, given that it's a Tommy John surgery. If he can be accurate and have a little velocity bump, he's definitely superior to Yusei Kikuchi. We know that historically, right?
Mm-hmm. And he's looking svelte, lost a lot of weight.
Got to get that hustle on. All right, we're gonna hustle on over to your questions. There's a segue for you. After this very short break. Baby, I'm howling for you. And we are back. I've cried all the way into my beer. I'm not actually crying. I don't actually have a beer. But we do have a couple of questions from our listeners.
Time now to hear from our listeners.
That just seems silly.
Here are the rules. First, I ask a question, then you ask a question.
Now, how does that sound, sweetheart?
Could you repeat the question, please?
I do feel that it's possible some people might not be asking questions because they are, like me, only watching the games from a safe distance.
Yeah, I think that that's the wise course of action at the moment.
Colleen Evans 6. Colleen Evans. Hi again, Colleen. She has a question. Is it obvious that the Jays will need to be active to get pitching at the trade deadline and or other talent, but do they have any other players that teams will want?
I mean, everybody does. You know, the Jays have some decent prospects. Some of them are not playing very well at the moment, but, I mean, they were able to trade the very struggling Jordan Groshans for Bass and Pop last year. So, there were guys. I don't know exactly who. You never know. And sometimes there are guys lower in the system. But they will have pieces to get players. They just might not have pieces to get superstars.
Interesting. I know that you're always looking to upgrade, but I'm curious, because of the way that this bullpen is already constructed, with the difficult time they have optioning guys and rotating people in and out, and the return of Ryu, presumably.
And Chad Green.
Who they are paying millions of dollars to pitch at the major league level whenever he can do that. I don't know if pitching will be the thing that they...
The bench. They need to upgrade the bench.
Yeah, you need the bottom of the lineup to work.
Yeah, and they just need guys to be able to come off the bench who they can trust to get a hit. I mean, Kevin Biggio hit a home run off the bench today, which is great, but he's been awful. And, you know, and they have Nathan Lucas and Ernie Clement currently on the bench. And then that's just not... I mean, as nice as it is, those guys got a couple hits and whatever. they're just not the guys that you need at the back of a bench on a championship team. They're like Lucas, I don't know what his point is. He's not a great hitter. He's not super fast. So he's not a pinch running option late. Like, you know, in terms of like, I need a steal. Here's Billy Hamilton or Jerrod Dyson or something. Yeah, you need another, can either mash or run.
Yeah, you need another Brandon Belt or a, you know, for the historical reference, a Matt Stairs would be great to have on the bench.
Yeah, or a Corey Dickerson, you know, just someone who can you'd be trusted to go get a big hit at a key time.
Yeah. Minor Leaguer says, list out the top 10 coaches the Blue Jays should fire. And then he backs off and says, please don't actually do that. I'd like to have your thoughts on whether chickening out is that's how we do things around here. I'd like to have your thoughts on whether you think the new Rogers Center dimensions has helped or hindered the Blue Jays offense. I feel like it's been pretty neutral.
Yeah.
I've not had one of Vlad's line drives where I was like, oh, that's absolutely a homer. Why did they raise the fence there? And I've watched Bo Bichette do his opposite field thing over and over and over again, but he was going to do that anyway. So
Chapman's had a couple that may have gone out, but all in all, it's hard to say that it's really had much of an effect. Most of the balls that they've hit have either been home runs that would have been home runs or not home runs that wouldn't have been. So I think it's been pretty neutral, as you said.
Yeah. Is that all we have for questions?
We have one from Will at OK_BlueJays_93 asking about our new partners around the nest. And Will asked if there's another around the nest coming soon. And there is. They're recording on Friday, so it'll probably be available to you for download on our feed on Saturday. We love having them here, and it's just adds a nice little angle, you know, like covering the minor leagues, which we don't do that well on this show. So it's really nice that they're here and doing that.
Primarily, I don't do it that well. Josh is tuned in just fine. well, you know, strengths and weaknesses. You gotta shot chaser, you know, the whole bit. So we're going to move on over to the land of the gold star, if that's all right with you.
It is.
I think that's rather brilliant.
So I did good, right? I mean, I would have thought you'd get a gold star.
You enjoy that. You've earned it.
I'm going to give a gold star to a squirrel. That does not seem baseball related, does it? But it is.
It doesn't, but go out, do it anyway.
Yankee Stadium. I mean, we've seen cats. We've seen birds on the field. We've seen midges in Cleveland. We've seen so many things. This week, it was a squirrel running along the foam at the top of the short porch at Yankee Stadium, right in front of the front row crowd. Absolutely, just weirding out completely. Just about everybody in the first row except for one guy. I give him a gold star for, I don't know how a squirrel navigates his way all the way into Yankee Stadium, much less to the front row. Freaked out Yankee fans are the best kind of Yankee fans. So you go, guy, wherever you came from and wherever you ended up, I hope you're okay now.
Gold star.
Yeah, come get your gold star, because, I mean, I have no squirrel fear. I'm willing to hand one out. And now we're going to do a double do-over, but the first one is also Yankee related. Hang on.
All right. What would I do different? Well, I've never actually made a mistake. There have been a few, let's call them stanks, that could be worthy of a do-over.
What would Major League Baseball do if they didn't have the Yankees to promote, Josh?
That's a good question. Because they're using them to promote lots of things. So starting on this past Sunday, this is where you could find a Yankees game on TV. On Sunday, Peacock. They were off on Monday. On Tuesday, it was on YES, which is their network. Wednesday, Amazon Prime. Thursday, YES again. Friday, Apple TV. That's four different places to find a Yankees game in 1 week. Which means you had to be subscribed to three streaming services to watch the Yankees. And it's just nonsense. Four, actually, yes, you have to subscribe to YES. So four different services to watch the if you're a Yankees fan, and that's it's just insane. Like, I can't believe that they think that that's a good way to grow the game.
I am still flabbergasted by Major League Baseball's refusal to create any other national identity for a team except the Yankees. Like, they seem to think that everyone who is outside, who doesn't have a team to root for, must be some sort of latent Yankees fan waiting to burst into the store and request the cap with the NY on it. Like, I don't understand.
It is interesting that, you know, you talk about that, that it definitely does create markets. I mean, the way that they market the individual teams does help boost the revenue of certain teams, and they definitely do push Dodgers, Yankees, Cubs, Red Sox. Those are the four the most they push the most, and you could probably throw the Cardinals in there. But you know, it's interesting that happens, because it does, considering that they, you know, they don't fully share revenue, it does create a bit of an imbalance sometimes.
But yeah, and it's weird because the Dodgers, although a storied, you know, franchise, are the Giants any less historically significant than the Dodgers?
They are not.
But yet, somehow they even having won recent World Series and everything else, seem kind of second tier. Again, the White Sox, any less of a you know, well-known, or any less of a presence in Major League Baseball in a meaningful way over the last 100 years than the Cubs?
No. Well, no. I mean, neither of them win anything.
So. Yeah, exactly. So why are the Cubs more of a baseball team than the White Sox? I don't understand. Whatever. So what is the do-over for in this case? I mean, I hope it's don't put the Yankees on any TV.
Well, sure, that's a good one. But also just make it so everybody can see everybody. You know, don't try to force streaming service down fans' throats, and don't try to push the Yankees to do it.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's like, just if you're selling MLB TV, just let everybody watch their team on MLB TV. It's your product. Mm-hmm. You're not losing any money by that, are you? Really?
No.
And then we have another do-over. I'm not going to play a separate stinger because, you know, a stenank is a stenank, as I say.
And this was a stenank. yeah, so I was at the game on Saturday in Baltimore, against Baltimore. And I had gone, it was a season ticket holder event. I won the trivia event because, of course, I did.
Yes, you did.
I had to represent the Stump the Josh.
For our new listeners, that was a thing we used to do when people didn't realize that they couldn't beat Josh in trivia.
I'm a big Blue Jays nerd. But anyway, so I went out to get some food. And I come back down, and there's this big thing going on with Schneider visiting the mound. And I was like, what the heck just happened? Well, apparently Schneider forgot what we missed a mound visit as well, because he didn't realize that Walker had actually already gone out to visit Manoah in the inning and had to take him out. I think it was the right time to take Manoah out anyway, to bring in Meza. But yeah, it's a really bad mistake.
Yeah, it doesn't look very smooth. That reminds me of Cito Gaston trying to do the double switch after he went out to the mound to the pitcher in Philadelphia, because he hadn't been in the National League in many, many years and forgot you have to tell the umpire you're doing the double switch before you go pull the pitcher.
Yeah.
Whoops. No take-backsies. Well, at least he didn't violate the pitch clock while he was doing it.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Which is to say that I believe we have toddled in to what is nearing the end of the podcast. And at that point, I usually ask you the question, do you have a final thought?
Yeah, I'm actually heading off to Minnesota to catch at least a couple games in the series. So I'm hoping to bring some luck, because, oh boy, do they need it.
I want you to take,
but it'll be fun.
I want you to take everything out of your suitcase right now,
and just, that's good, it's not packed, so
yeah, okay, good. Don't pack it, just put luck in it, seal that baby up real tight, hope they don't open it at airport security, and take the luck all the way and just open it in the stadium. It's a reasonable request.
Well, they won't let me bring it in the stadium, so that doesn't work.
Oh, bag restrictions. I was so close to solving all of the Blue Jays problems.
Blame the stadium security if the Jays lose that series.
Why did the Texas Rangers get a City Connect jersey? This was, I saw this on Twitter and I think it's true. A City Connect jersey when they don't even have a city and the Blue Jays don't have one.
I saw a very good fake one put out recently on Twitter. It was a raccoon riding a streetcar with a holding the CN Tower or something. But it was
I think he's holding CN Tower like a lance, like a horse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
He's jousting from the top of a streetcar. CN Tower.
Just like Toronto on any Sunday, Saturday in July after you've had some heat stroke from your utter lack of a breeze.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. All right. I'm not a big jersey guy, but I kind of feel like a city as iconic as Toronto should have had a City Connect jersey by now. But who am I? I'm just some dude who wonders why the Blue Jays haven't had an All-Star game since 1991. Anyway, you have been Joshua Hausen at Joshua Hausen, and I have been Greg Wisniewski at Coolhead 2010. And this has been episode number 269 of Artificial Turf Wars, and we will talk at you next week.